have found your hidden power, or you will, or hopefully you'll have a key to find out some more about your hidden power or powers. I'm Doug Steffen here with an overview of things that are out of the ordinary. Some people are mystified. Some people call some of our discussions metaphysical. Joining us today, we have a usual coefficient, if you will, of people who will help you expand your mind. Later in this hour, Uri Geller will join us from his home in Israel. Mary O'Malley, our psychic, and Maria Francesca Trilogy, who's our astrologer, will be here to lend some information that'll help you through the day, through the week, through the month. I find that it is important for me, anyway, in the mindset that I have, to every day give some time to slowing down. I didn't used to do this, and the people that work with me still find it almost incomprehensible that I do spend some time every day to slow myself down. Normally, it's when I get off the radio or sometime in the middle of the day, where it just is important for me now to give myself some time. It may be a half hour. It doesn't happen every day, but I try to do it every day. Sometimes it's 20 minutes, a half hour, 40, 45 minutes. It's a focus. It's a centering, because I think that there's so much tragic news around us that our souls and our spirits are very sensitive. And those of us who take all of this stuff in, and I don't mean to sort of build a cloud around some kind of a club, but you know what I'm saying. There are some people who take these things more intently, more seriously, and I think that's where Susan Manano comes in. This is a lady who is an inspiration. I found out about Susan a while back. Her website, if I'm not mistaken, Susan, correct me, is shamanwalks.org. Is that right?
That's correct. Thank you, Doug.
So what got you started on this path? Tell us your story. Bring us up to today from when you first felt it was important to do things differently in your life.
Well, I've always wanted to inspire people all my life, and I've had many people inspire me through life. And I remember an incident back in high school. My high school counselor's door was always open. You could always walk in and always say what was on your mind, and she always listened, and she was always very present. And I decided, you know, one day I wanted to be just like her. Well, as life goes along, I, you know, met many other people that continue to inspire me, my husband being one of them, who's here with me too, Doug. His name is Gino. He birthed Shaman Walks. It was he who created the name. But our life was always filled with going out in the mountains and being inspired by nature and seeing God in nature and the light in nature. And we always wanted to get to some of the most remote places. And it just made us feel whole. It made us feel complete. You know, the wind blowing through your hair, the silence, the sheer silence. And you talked about so many things going on in the world right now. A lot of the work we do is to bring people into that silence and to the entire universe that resides within us. And so we've met many people, and many books inspired us as well. But our teacher, Maida, who was Warren Newton, who was actually five ascended masters in one soul, believe it or not, Moses, Abraham, Daniel, Elijah, and Ezekiel. Well, one day he met my husband, who would probably tell the story better than I, but he had Gino over. And Gino kind of came with this attitude of, who are you and why should I be with you? And kind of a let's prove us. And Maida said a few things to Gino that just shocked him, but intrigued him, and also inspired him. That word
what sort of things? What sort of things, Susan, were the
let
things?
Me have,
that...
Let me have Gino speak to that, Doug. Here he
is. Greetings, one and all. I'm Gino Manano. And yes, Susan and I met some 43 years ago and got married at the age of 18. Shortly thereafter, spirit came our way. And so I was interested in clairvoyant medium work, and but the fellow that came up to me, he just seemed like some short, chubby, squatty guy, kind of looked like Santa Claus or Kentucky Fried Chicken Colonel Sanders guy. He had white hair, white beard, and a long ponytail, and he said, I know who you are, and you're not about your father's business, and you need to be, and so he said, come on over, I want to talk to you. I was a little hesitant and finally went over with my big attitude and big ego, like, prove it, prove you can tell me all about myself and sat down for a soul reading. And within minutes, I knew I had spirit across the table as he told me all about myself and told me things that only I knew about. So I decided to work with them and pay attention. And we worked with them for about 5 years, and they taught us the alchemy, the light in life, how everything works. And about 5 years later, they kind of just disappeared the way they appeared and told us to go out and do the work. And so we were a little hesitant about it. We had lots of excuses. We had children to raise, and we were foresters working for the Forest Service, and we had mountains we wanted to climb. So it took a while for us to step into the work. But about 2000, we started to open up to the public and start doing the clairvoyant medium work. So we do something called the soul record. Some folks know it as the Akashic record. And it's basically your own personal history, everything you need to know about yourself. So we read that record so that people can receive the information they need to empower themselves and move on. So when we say the mind of God is all-knowing, it's true. And in our personal lives, we each know ourselves better than anyone else. But that all-knowing mind of God is the one individual that can tell us more about ourselves than we can tell ourselves. So that's basically the work we do. We're just the conduit, the cell phone service to God. We just do the be still and know I am God and let spirit come through and let you know what you need to know. So when you do a soul reading with us, you can literally ask any question that's ever popped into your head. You can ask about your parents, your grandparents, your husband, your wife, your children, your past lives. You can ask about how the alchemy works of life, how you can spin the hoops to bring forth the white light and make your life empowered and improve yourself and in every way, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Yeah, our lives are made up of, and all elements always need to be improved upon. And so, yeah, we're just here to be of service.
One of the things that I wonder about when I have a great interest in all of this, and I guess it comes from my own personal experiences. You started young, so you may not have encountered what you are encountering, I'm sure, from some people these days, the cynical side of life, cynics, cynicism, people who don't believe, people who think this is nonsense, people who think this is hooey, and those people are welcome to their point of view. I was one of them when I was the age that you started this. It wasn't until I was in my 40s that I really came into contact with the message, the meaning, the reality. I think it comes to people, sometimes it doesn't come at all, sometimes it comes later in life under certain circumstances. Sometimes it becomes a benevolent experience, sometimes it's a hurtful experience that brings you around to this. So there's so much to do here, and there's so many different ways of being in touch with spirit, God, infinite intelligence, the force, whatever it is, source, whatever you want to call it. But to you have to hone it down. You've decided to do you've followed a particular path. I want to know in a moment how, from both of you, if you want to, if it's always together you go, or is there a separation sometimes? Gino and Susan Manano are here on Your Hidden Power. You've heard me talk, and as a matter of fact, everybody seems to be talking about superfoods these days, nutritionally dense foods that are especially beneficial to your health and well-being. Do you know that beets are one of the most powerful superfoods you can put into your body? They're loaded with important nutrients that increase blood flow. You've heard Dr. Ken talk about nitric oxide, and that's what increases the energy, getting the blood flow to your body. Open up the arteries. That's what nitric oxide does. Opens up your arteries so that you can have, every single time you have a glass of Super Beets, you're going to have that power. Super Beets every day benefits your body. If you're an athlete, if you're a student, doesn't make any difference. It makes you more aware. Did you know that 30% of us are getting all, that's it, only 30% of us are getting all the nutrients we need from food? The Romans used beets for energy and stamina. So this goes all the way back to that period. Only Super Beets are made from beets grown to exacting standards. They have a big 400-acre farm, grow the non-GMO beets. They cook them. and then they dry them and powder them. And what a fabulous opportunity you have. Drink it during the day, the way it makes you feel. You can't replicate it. You can't. So try Superbeets. Get on the bandwagon. You want all the benefits of this powerful superfood? Go online to DougLikesBeets.com and order your Superbeets. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Superbeets free, plus an indicator, a strip indicator, you can use to see how the Superbeets are working for you. Gives you the level of nitric oxide in your system. So free shipping and a month free when you get started. Sign up, DougLikesBeets.com. Do it today. Do it now while you're thinking about it and have all that fabulous energy. DougLikesBeets.com. All right. Focus on your power, the things that you can do to enhance your life. And sometimes it comes with reading. Sometimes it comes in an experience that you have by yourself. Sometimes you can go to experts like Susan Minano and her husband Gino and talk. You have, if you go to the website Shaman Walks, there's a picture that looks like it was created in the Arizona desert. Am I right? Is that where that picture was taken?
Yeah, that's from Sedona, Arizona.
Sedona, that's a place that people go. Do you think there's such a thing as overdoing this sort of thing? Like Sedona has a reputation of being a fabulous. I've been there four or five times. I kind of like it. But there are those who go there that say it's lost. It's been too commercialized, and therefore it's lost its hooch. Can this become too commercialized?
It's beginning to. The word shamanism is getting thrown around quite a bit, but yeah. It's also about feelings. You know, Sedona is Sedona. It's the city. It's the feeling of the land. It's being out in the red rock in the desert. Our teacher always used to take us to Mount Shasta, and a lot of our teachings focus around Mount Shasta. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a mountain, but the land has a lot of power. You know, being alone, quiet in nature in the backcountry, I'd say it's the most empowering thing you can offer yourself.
What is the term and how is it relative?
There's many definitions. Our favorite definition of shamanism is to see the light of God in all things, to see God in nature. Before the modern day religions that we have today, all tribes, all humans were indigenous, connected to the land and earth-based. So we all saw the light of God in our daily lives in nature, through our work, our play, our relationships. We saw it in the water, the air, the sun. You were saying you work on your farm, and there really is a holy trinity. It is the water, the soil, and the sunshine. Yeah. And without those elements, we can't grow food or survive. So the best place to really work with folks is in nature, but the skill is to be anywhere and see the light, see the white light. That's the driving force behind all things as this planet orbits around the sun. So we take folks out on shaman walks to our medicine wheels, to our power spots in the Klamath Mountains, in the Siskiyou Mountains, in Shasta Nation, where we live. And there we take people to our power spots and do the soul readings there, and they can ask spirit questions. So we like to get out on the land. We also go out to the land, like you mentioned Sedona before. We do something called clearings. And so in that infinity factor of always was, always will be, there's the energy left behind by atrocities of the genocide from the Euro-Christian invasion of manifest destiny. We go to places and clean up the old village. So Sedona used to be a place where Navajo, Apache, and Hopi, and Zuni people used to meet and trade. So it's a powerful village. And
this is the group that this is the group that now people who don't want to have Columbus Day want to have celebrated. This group of people that were here originally, they have an understanding of the land, I think. And you also said something else about places and using Sedona as an example, but there are other places. I know I've decided every year I'm going to take a week. I never used to take vacations, but I decided last year I'm going to take a week a year and go on some sort of spiritual experience. Last year, I went across England from the southwest to the northeast corner. There's a straight line. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And all of the things, some of them are tourist trappista, things like when you go to Stonehenge and stuff like that. There's a lot of deeper stuff.
We work with a lot of the folks out of Gladstone area. There's more than one. There's Glastonbury. Yeah, there's more than one little town around the Stonehenge, and we do work with quite a few folks from England in that area.
And this year, I'm going to go to Damanhur in Italy. Are you familiar with that? It's a place that not many people go. Damanhur. It's near Turin in Italy, but it's the same sort of thing. That's why I'm going, because it's a place that nobody's ever heard of. And I don't like going to tourist spots, but I find that what I've read so far about it looks like a fabulous place for yet more experiences. And transformation is what we're all about, I think. So I acknowledge, and I think people need to, if you're interested in this sort of thing, expand. Yeah, reading is good, but the experience, you don't get the real meaning, whether it's having a relationship with somebody like you or having a reading with someone like the two of you or some of the other folks that we have here of service. But it's going to these places if you can and getting. I remember going to the Seven Hills of Cincinnati. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's the same kind of thing. So I encourage people to go and find what you can on your own, and then maybe you need guidance. And so go to Gino and Susan's website, shamanwalks.org, S-H-A-M-A-N, walks.org, for an experience that looks like it would be fabulous. Thanks to the two of you for being here on Your Hidden Power. Your Hidden Power continues now with Uri Geller, mystifier, mind motivator, paranormalist. Uri, we've been talking about going to places to get inspiration. And then there are those who think that inspiration comes from within, that we don't need people like you and others who are supposedly motivators. And I know over the years you have dealt with skepticism. How do you guard yourself, and how do others who are sensitive and who are teachers guard themselves? Or do they speak for themselves and they don't have to? It's almost like sometimes, you know, I feel some of these people are apologizing for their gifts, which is, you know, there's so much skepticism around today, questioning integrity, that sort of thing. So I know you're not guarded at all when speaking. How did you get the confidence that you have to just keep going against, you know, sometimes some pretty nasty comments?
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring up the subject about motivation and inspiration, because just a couple of hours ago, I got an email from the Himalayas where we know a young man who is the son of our friend who went there to learn how to meditate the right way. And once you go through the course, which is about 6 weeks, they give you a meditation diploma, and they certify you to be a teacher or a guru of meditation. And a lot of people swear by meditation. It's relaxing. It's mind expanding. It triggers your imagination, your visualization, and it makes you kind of more tuned to your consciousness and empowers you so you can be more successful in life. And I learned many, many years ago, decades ago, that whatever I do, there will always be controversy around me. There will always be those skeptics, as you say, we call them skeptics. Now, by the way, there are skeptics in any field, whether it's about global warming. There are those who fight about, yes, there is global warming, no, there isn't. Then there are the skeptics about gun control. Should Americans have guns or not? Politics, I mean, everything under the sun has skeptics in the corner somewhere trying to debunk what others say. I learned how to, like you mentioned the word guard myself, by basically building a shield around me of, it's an invisible shield that protects me, but it comes from within. What I do is I simply ignore the negativity around me. I ignore skeptics. I let them rage and I let them fight because I also see it as free publicity. I mean, let's face it, the skeptics gave me the longevity I have. If it wasn't for the skeptics, I think I would have been kind of gone. Nobody would know the name Uri Geller. But the more they speak about me, you know, the old saying that actually, the very famous saying that Oscar Wilde came up with, he said that there's only one worse thing in life than being talked about, and that's not being talked about. So for me, skeptics contributed to my career. To others, who don't really need skeptics for their careers, simply ignore. Do not surround yourself with negative people. Keep away from losers. Keep away from people who are envious, jealous. Those are the ones who create that negative energy, the negative force. And, you know, it's really up to you to ignore it and just get on with your life and surround yourself with positive people, positive outlooks, positive environment, positive places. I think you can do it. And that's how I found this system. It really works. And I think you're the same, Doug. I mean, look, you've got your share of people who email you nasty emails. Am I right?
I have my detractors. Yes, I do. And I like you, although I don't know if I do it consciously. I used to be affected. If you listened to me 20 years ago, and when somebody would send me something nasty, I'd read it on the air, and then I'd take a shot at them. But I don't do that anymore because I don't know that it gets anywhere, frankly. It doesn't offer anybody something positive. There's no hope. I'm a great believer in hope as a strategy. I think we need to give people a reason to have a better day today than they had yesterday. Give them hope that things are not going to be as bad as they may think they are, or as they seem to be, or maybe they actually are for people. It's hope.
Exactly, Doug. You're doing the right thing. Ignore, don't fight back. Because, look, hey, let me teach you all a good sentence. Show me a successful man, and I will show you controversy. So everyone who is successful, they've got something controversial about them, how they got to where they are, their personality, their character, the job they're doing, whatever they're producing, there is controversy. And people tend to be envious, jealous, or people tend to hate what you are saying. Now, especially in the radio business, you're being heard. You're in the driving seat, so people are listening to you, whether it's at home, on their mobile phones, in their cars, and you're producing, you're laying out your theories, your own feelings about things. Whenever you're asking questions from your guests, you're displaying, you're kind of peeling off their certain camouflage that they have around them, and you get to the point, and people like that.
Well,
so Doug, my advice is just continue being you. There's nothing like being you. I always remember that the secret of success is originality. So if you create original things on your show, you will be successful. More people will want to hear you. And and just ignore the negative emails. And then that will kind of ebb away. It will wane away as these skeptics see that you're not answering them.
Well, I think that under the circumstances, that's why I do things like this weekly conversation, Your Hidden Power, you coming on to go through your experiences. And I've known you for 24, 25 years, and I don't know what life was like. I think every once in a while how you in particular have inspired me. We become friends, and so there's an equality, but I don't know that I inspire you the way you inspire me. I think there's we have a great friendship, but I'm not sure that I contribute to it in the way that you contribute to my well-being. Your well-being may not be enhanced as much by knowing me as my well-being is enhanced by knowing you. Does that make sense?
Well, let me finish this. let me finish the conversation but by saying that's not true. Friendship inspires, full stop. So let's remember that.
That's a great way of putting it, yeah. All right, so there, you've just inspired me again. And everybody else. All right, pal, I'll talk to you later. Uri Geller, go to his website and be inspired. URIGELLER. UriGeller.com. Now time for our weekly visit with Mary O'Malley, the so-called psychic scout. Go to psychicscout.com as she has opportunities there for you to learn more about yourself. That seems to be our theme today, Mary, learning more about yourself. But isn't that the theme every day when you get right down to brass tacks, isn't it? That we all want to know more about our energy. What makes us tick? Where do we go? What do? How do we do it? That sort of thing. You ever get tired? You ever feel like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders because people dump all their junk on you?
Sometimes. Sometimes. It depends on the situation. You know, a lot of times we just don't have anybody to go to that isn't personally involved in our life to talk something out, you know, where you just need a blank slate, a mirror. So a lot of times I'm the mirror for that person. And they usually find their own answer if they just get a chance to talk it out loud. You know, it's just part of being the psychic, and the guides are hearing what they say, and, you know, it's a good way to get a bigger perspective on things. But, you know, sometimes people habitually dump all their stuff, and I'm like, no, that's not my job.
Well, but the other side, there are a lot of people who are their own worst enemies. And one of the things that comes about, speaking of dumping, is and energy and stuff. If you've got a lot of clutter, I was just going through my office, and there's stuff piled up. There's a new cabinet in there, and there's lots of old files. And when I walk through there, I think, I want to do something about this. But then I think, oh, this will take a half hour, 45 minutes. I don't have it right now. So I keep walking by it. Is that the kind of stuff that slows? Doesn't that slow people down sometimes?
Yes, it does. I've been in the same apartment for 20 years, and I have stuff in the back of the cupboards that have been here since I moved in that I've never seen. And I'm going through that myself, a purge, you know, start getting rid of things. Yeah, so, you know, our lives are cluttered up. We have a lot of things going on, a lot of things to do, a lot of things we're responsible for, and it makes life easier if your environment isn't cluttered at the same time.
So you need to clutter out. We need to unclutter. Clutter out. Good, Dick. That's a good expression. You need to unclutter. I'm seeing, excuse me, in my imagination at the moment, a kind of a tree branches, and the using of putting together the branch of the tree to sweep things out. And does that allow you to let new things in? I think a lot of people think that that's what happens. It lets new things in, right?
It does. It creates the space for new things to come in, for new energy to come in into the environment and into yourself. So it's like for relationships, they say, you know, empty out a couple drawers in your dresser and make some room in the closet. If you're looking for a new relationship, make room for that person, you know? So it's the same kind of thing.
All right. So let me ask you a tough question. Okay. I saw something online as I do my research for this program. I'm always Googling various things that have to do with this sort of work. And I saw that a psychic had to repay $3.5 million to a woman for exorcisms. Did you see that? The kind of thing? I don't understand how exorcisms work.
I didn't see that one, but I've seen others like it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like any industry, there's people who push the limits. It makes us all look bad, you know?
Right. Yeah. People who take advantage. I remember going through in Philadelphia when I was working there, I was on a remote broadcast out on the pier. I don't even remember. Isn't it funny? I remember that. And there was sort of a cavalcade of sensitive people that were on display. And one woman came running over to me She introduced herself as Madam somebody or other, and she said, for $500, I can clear all that negative energy around you. I can see it. Your aura is black. And so I didn't go for it, fortunately, but I don't know that somebody running over to me and saying, for $500, I can clear your aura, is something that gives the business a good name. You agree?
I agree. It happened to a friend of mine who's a little overweight, and somebody came up and said, oh, I need it. I can balance your chakras and get your blood pressure down. And she's been exercising and working really hard and just had a clean bill of health from the doctor. Her blood pressure's fine. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not all right to take advantage of people.
Well, it is all right to go to you. Go to PsychicScout.com, Mary O'Malley. Now, with our astrologer, Maria Francesca Trilogy, who is your astrological light beacon and the author of the book Life is Good When You Do the Work, here to talk about Jupiter entering the sign of Scorpio. That happens this week, first time in 12 years. So I have a few Scorpios in my life. Is this only good for those who have birth sign of Scorpio? Is this good for moon sign Scorpio? What is this, the Jupiter entering the sign of Scorpio, good for?
Good morning. Well, Jupiter is the planet that brings goodness, brings benefits, brings goodness, brings opportunity for positive change in a person's life, and overall brings this energy. And now Scorpio, of course, we know, is the sign of the people that are quite tenacious, will go after what they want and go all the way down as far as they have to go to get the answer.
Are we always successful?
The natural detectives of the zodiac.
Are we always successful? That's the question.
Well, you know, you have to determine and decide what success is. If you believe that success is going after your goal and making a statement about what you think is right, then you're a success. You know, the saying goes, I'd rather fail at something I tried hard at than not try hard at all. Mm-hmm. So to your second question about who will benefit, everyone will. So no matter your sun sign, your moon sign, your ascendant sign, wherever Scorpio appears in your birth chart will be where that support and ultimate success will be the most prevalent. So it's important to, with this event only happening once every 12 years, for you to pay attention, get your chart done by a reputable astrologer, and take a look at where that Jupiter transit or that Scorpio energy is going to be able to support your life. And that is probably the best way for you to gather any kind of, you know, to me, Jupiter brings us the strength and the passion to go after what we want. And then hopefully it will be a success. You know, of course, it all depends. Scorpio takes on some pretty powerful, challenges. Yes, absolutely right. And some of them are quite successful. You know, is every endeavor we go after a success? Again, it depends on how
defining
we determine
success.
It.
Yeah, defining success. So if you're looking for a good person to get a reading from, that wasn't why Maria said what she did, but I'm going to say it for her. The problem is nobody can spell her name. So if you go to smbworks at earthlink.net, you can find Maria.
Just give me a hello. This is so-and-so, and I heard you on Good Day with Doug Steffen. And I will definitely get back with you.
All right. Well, it should get back to everybody, but just it makes it, you get into the front of the line. Perhaps. Let's go back to the meanings. In this circumstance, we're talking about Jupiter entering the sign of Scorpio. Who figured this all out? You've become a student of it. You've learned it. But where did the initial information come from? Who did the research? Who put all of this together?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Years and years and years of studying. So at one time, astronomy and astrology were one study first, and then as they started realizing the effect of how these planets would move around and what kind of effect they had on different people and how the planets affected. So it was through, I will say, the tenacity of many young early astrologers, astronomers. As I said, first it was just astronomy because they noticed what was going on in the sky and how it affected people on the planet and crops and weather. And that's how it all started. And then they broke it down more and more and more and more.
They
and
being
came
people,
to this.
The astrologers and astronomers. So it is. It's fascinating how you put all of this together. It's like learning math or science or anything. It is a science. So you want to talk to Maria, smbworks@earthlink.net. This is your hidden power.